Oompa-pa-oompa-pa-oompa-pa-oompa-pa. Birthday fudge, swamp knife, old nail, walk it undone. Me and Hapua couldn't care fewer. It happens all the time. Repeat Okibo. Me and Hapua couldn't care fewer. It happens all the time. Repeat Okibo. Toothless flesh, shabby pimple chin slime, evil milky rash. Me and Hapua, spastic delight hound, losing dreadlocks, skullcap. We're coming to your town.
We'll help you party down.
Me and Hapua, we couldn't care if we were. It happens all the time. We beat Okibo. Okay, first thing I want to say here, just to get things started, this is definitely the most incredible place I've ever played music. This is unbelievable. I don't know how it looks from up there, but it looks pretty amazing from up here. So, what I thought I'd do here is, I figure that some of you probably think you know where Red Rocks, when it started and everything, and the whole events about how this whole place came to be, but I'm sure you're wrong about it, and I'm going to tell you the real story right now. So, just so you know everything before you get started. Okay, one of the surprising things is when you go backstage here, the dressing rooms, they're like sort of these little caves. I don't know if you knew about that, but you go basically underneath the stage and that's where the dressing rooms are, and they're built right into the rock. So you have the, sort of these walls, cave walls down there, and then your little table and all that. So you're basically sitting right inside the rock. And just before we came on stage, I'm sitting down there and reading a magazine, and I look over on the wall and I start to notice these strange etchings in the wall. So I kind of looked closer, and luckily I have a great knowledge of ancient languages. I know all the ancient languages. So I'm looking at these etchings and I realized that I could read it, and it was a story about how this whole Red Rocks came to be. And basically this is what it said. It started a long time ago, thousands of years ago. There were people that lived down in those caves, and they chose this spot because it protected them from the weather and from other, you know, other tribes and stuff like that would come around. So they lived down in these caves and everything, and there were lots of them. Now, at one point in time in their history, they had this one real troublemaker that lived with them, and he was this old man who used to walk around with this kind of mangy dog-like animal that he named Harpua. So the whole town, the town of cave dwellers down there, they weren't too big on this guy. They were always causing trouble. The thing about Harpu is he's always getting in fights and beating up other little animals and whatnot. So one day the townspeople voted, and they decided to send Harpua and his evil master all the way up into the mountains there. So off they went up into the mountains, and for years and years and years, the townspeople never heard from them again. Now, unbeknownst to the townspeople, while the dog and his master were living up there, they sort of encountered these gods in the mountain. And the gods gave Harpua this special power. And the special power was that Harpua could change himself from a dog into any other kind of living creature at any time that he wanted. Now, being that he was a dog that liked to cause trouble and start fights, he started to get this idea that he would get back at the townspeople for banishing them. So one day, Harpua decided to come down off the mountain. This is what it says up on the thing here. He came down from the mountain, and as he got down to the mountain, he was trying out different forms, and he changed himself from a dog into a giraffe for a minute. He thought, this isn't going to scare him at all. And so he tried something different. He changed himself into one of those jackalopes that you have up here. And then he changed himself from one of those. That was no good. And so he changed himself into a gazelle, you know, and he kept thinking, none of these things are really going to scare the townspeople. Finally, he got in his mind that he was going to change himself into a giant
iguana.
So that was it. He chained himself into this giant iguana. Now, meanwhile, here he's coming down the mountains, this giant iguana. And meanwhile, in one of the little caves down there lived this little boy, a little cave-dwelling boy, and he had a little pet, too, that he loved. And his pet was a tiny little furry kitty cat. And he loved the cat so much, he would carry it around by the scruff of his neck every day. And yes, the kitty cat's name, it was an ancient kind of form of kitty cat, Posterus nutbagus. And they called him Poster Nutbag, for sure. Poster Nutbag. So here's Jimmy with Poster Nutbag. And Jimmy and Poster Nutbag were walking around the caves, and one day, Poster Nutbag decides to go out of the caves, up into the little area here, this amphitheater that wasn't yet an amphitheater. And so he's walking up there, and he comes up onto the thing, and something kind of seems strange. He noticed this huge shadow lurking, and this incredible, scary feeling came over him on this particular day. So here's little Poster Nutbag walking along right about over there, and he's going around right next to this big rock over here, and suddenly he looks up and he sees this giant iguana looking down at him, at which point their tempers both start to flare and they realize that there's going to be a horrible fight here between the iguana. And so the iguana starts stepping forward, so like step by step, coming closer to Poster Nutbag, closer and closer. Poster Nutbag, terrified, looking up at this huge giant iguana. The iguana's looking down at Poster Nutbag, opens up his mouth, he's gonna eat Poster Nutbag, looks down at him, Poster Nutbag, in a last desperate attempt, like cats do, looks directly into the eyes of the iguana, staring straight into his pupils with such a terrifying gaze that the iguana turns to stone. And that iguana is sitting right over there now. You have to look at that little range. The last bump over there, thousands of years later. I don't know if you can see it down in front, but from up there, all the way at the end, that last thing, the iguana is still sitting there thousands of years later. And what happened was, as time went on, the iguana stayed there as a reminder to the people of the cave dwellers to watch out for giant iguanas or whatever. And Poster Nutbag, of course, went on to die, and eventually all of the people from the cave dwellers went on to die, and their faces are sort of etched up into the mountains there. And I just want you to know that as the night goes on tonight, watch out for the giant iguana, because I've actually talked to people who've seen concerts here before who said that the giant iguana on certain nights really starts to come out and get you if you don't keep an eye on him. So every once in a while, look over to the giant iguana. Anyway, all the cave people died, except Poster Nutbag died, and the only people left were Jimmy and his dad. And I remember that fateful day when Poster Nutbag died, and it was very sad. Look, the storm's gone. Jimmy?
Yeah, Dad.
Jimmy, I have bad news.
Oh, what is it, Dad?
It's your cat, Poster.
You mean Poster Nutbag?
Your cat died!
Poster is dead. Poster is dead. Poster's so dead.
Oh,
nation with an ugly mutation, and it needs lubrication each day. There's a dog in the station contemplating rotation as a form of recreation and play.
The chairman of the boards, Paige McConnell.